Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. It's the WOSU Fall Membership Drive. More about that in just a sec. Less than 6 weeks out from Election Day 2022, a midterm picture that once looked promising for Republicans has become more of a mixed bag. We're talking about national politics this hour with political journalist Ken Rudin, host of the Political Junkie podcast. Welcome back, Ken.
Good morning, Ann.
It's countdown time, right?
It is exactly 6 weeks, and yes, and you're exactly right. Once upon a time, this was going to be a typical midterm election where there would have been a referendum on a president who happened to be unpopular, and that's an unpopular Joe Biden. But you also have an unpopular former president, Donald Trump, and Supreme Court rulings on abortion and guns that could help Democrats. So it's really a crapshoot for what's going to happen on November 8th.
We're talking about that crapshoot today. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. And this is our fall membership drive. Remember, listener support is the most important part of our budget. So please make your gift right now at WOSU.org. Or you can call 866-897-9678. And this is a special day for the Fall Membership Drive. Today is Neighborhood Challenge Day. And what we mean by neighborhood is wherever you're at and wherever you are, not just a Columbus neighborhood, but we hear from people all the time from Dayton, Cincinnati, Blacklick, you name it. Throughout today, we're hoping to hear from as many neighborhoods in Central Ohio and beyond as we can. When you make a gift, be sure to name your neighborhood, your city in the comment section, and I'll give you and your neighborhood a shout out on the air. Give now and get credit for your neighborhood for Neighborhood Challenge Day. Give at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And we have a goal for this hour of All Sides to hear from 20 different neighborhoods. We want to hear from Bexley, Worthington, Clintonville. We want to hear from Old Town East, Grandview and Short North, Blacklick, Marysville. Make a gift in any amount and support public radio and tell us your neighborhood. Delaware, Licking County, wherever it might be, Grandview, Granville. Give at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. Also, we have some great thank you gifts for this membership drive. For $15 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $180, you can get the 89.7 NPR News hoodie. This hoodie is gray with the teal 89.7 NPR News logo down the sleeve. Make a gift of $15 a month, and when you make that gift, tell us where you live and be one of the 20 different neighborhoods we want to hear from this hour to meet our goal. Give now at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. That's 866-897-9678. So it's more than just, you think, Ken Rudin, the Roe v. Wade, the overturning of Roe v. Wade. It's more than that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, clearly that seems to have shown an uptick in Democratic enthusiasm and for November 8th and coming out to vote, as we saw in that Kansas referendum. We saw that, you know, when it's up to the voters to decide on an issue, especially on an issue like abortion, Democrats and even Republicans say that banning it outright is not the way we, you know, the voters feel. But of course, there's so much more on the ballot than abortion and much more than guns. I mean, it's also the rise in prices. I mean, yes, gasoline prices have come down some, but food prices are not. Food prices continue to rise. The prices of renting and buying a home has continued to rise. And of course, the Republicans will blame that, rightly or not so, on Biden and the Democrats. So both parties are very vulnerable on it just depends on what issues you're talking about. In other words, the Republicans can talk about crime and inflation and things like that, and the border, what's going on the border, while Democrats could talk about abortion, guns, and things like that, and Trump.
He's still part of the conversation.
That famous January 6th committee that we may have forgotten about, even though we saw so many astounding revelations coming out of that committee. It returns this Wednesday at 1 p.m. And I don't know if it's going to be the last one. I mean, we see a lot of things happening. Ginny Thomas is going to testify under oath. That'll be kind of interesting because, you know, under oath, For some people, may not be under oath for other people. So we don't know what's going to happen. So, but, and then we may not see a final report until, I mean, some people on the committee are talking about like mid to late October, which would be in time for the midterm elections. And some will say, well, may it come at the end of the year. But, you know, is this going to change anybody's mind about Donald Trump? I suspect not. I suspect that all these things that's coming out, the raid on Mar-a-Lago, the Attorney General in New York investigation into financial shenanigans. I mean, are Trump supporters saying, well, I don't seem to like him anymore? That's not happening. And are Democrats, you know, suddenly saying, gee, I don't like this Donald Trump guy? That's not new either. So, you know, I mean, you got to wonder what it's all about. Well, I know what it's all about. It's about revealing the truth and letting Americans understand what their former president was all about. Whether it affects elections or not is another thing.
You know, I was just starting to read an article, but I had to come on air and do my job. But it was about, it was, I know, it's crazy. But it was about the January 6th committee just being overwhelmed now by a new influx of evidence.
Yeah, we've talked about a lot of things. I mean, they've seen new videos of Roger Stone. You know, there was this, I guess it was a Danish film crew that had been following around for several years, and the January 6th committee found things about Roger Stone that they thought could be very interesting. As they said, Ginny Thomas is going to testify, and then since the last time the committee met, you know, we had the Mar-a-Lago raid. We had the indictment from the New York Attorney General. Liz Cheney lost her seat since the last time we met. And so there's a lot of things that, you know, that are different now than they were the last time we heard from these folks.
Thanks to Letha Pugh from the South Side of Columbus. Thanks for showing your support for 89.7 NPR News during our fall membership drive. And as I mentioned earlier, it is Neighborhood Challenge Day. We have a goal to hear from 20 different neighborhoods this hour. We have listeners from every corner of Central Ohio and beyond, and we want to hear from you. Make a gift, and in the comment section, tell us your neighborhood. We want to hear from Pickerington, Blacklick, Granville, and beyond. Tell us your neighborhood when you go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. So we have Letha Pugh from the South Side of Columbus. That means 19 to go before the end of the hour. 866-897-9678. The Kansas referendum did underscore the fact that there's a huge chasm between what most Americans, or a majority of Americans, want when it comes to abortion rights in this country and what the Republican Party is willing to dish up to them.
Yeah, I think Kansas is a good example because, I mean, Kansas has not elected a Democrat to the Senate since 1932. It is Rock Rib Republican. They have obviously two Republican senators, a majority in the House. I mean, it's an overwhelming Republican state. And yet, and these people in office are strongly anti-abortion. I mean, whether it's a total ban on abortion or it's abortion after 15 weeks. By the way, we can talk about Lindsey Graham's legislation, which I think is a terrible mistake for the Republicans. But anyway, the fact is Republicans will back these bans. And when we see voters in Kansas, you know, normally vote Republican, say this is going too far. This is what gives Democrats hope in November. They're saying that, you know, if abortion is on the ballot, if women's reproductive rights are on the ballot, then the Democrats should feel better about their chances than they would have been had the Supreme Court not ruled the way they did.
You know, if you go back 30 years, it's just been a stunning success story for abortion opponents in this country, how they have managed to fill however many offices, the U.S. Supreme Court now, with anti-abortion rights legislators and, judicial candidates and judicial people on the bench. And yet it's still not what Americans want.
Well, I mean, most Americans, yeah,
a majority,
obviously a good portion of this country is very anti-abortion and understandably so. But of course, you know, I mean, everything between thinking about Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who held on to her seat perhaps more regrettably longer than she should have, and, you know, and has given Donald Trump three appointments to the Supreme Court, three obviously strongly anti-abortion judges to the justices to the Supreme Court. That makes a difference, you know. I guess it was, you know, I think, I don't know if it was James Carville or somebody, but they said elections have consequences. And when Al Gore was running for president in 2000, the campaign buttons read, "It's the Supreme Court, stupid," meaning that it's not so much the economy, it's the Supreme Court which will decide so many things. And that's why, you know, you think of, this election may not matter. Every election matters. Think of state legislatures, which will decide how a governor could vote, you know, governor policy in the state on abortion. So every election matters. And there's so much at stake this year, not only, of course, the governor's races, U.S. Senate, Congress, and state legislature, but is abortion on the ballot in every issue, in every race? Well, the Democrats certainly will try to make it so, just like Republicans will try to do the opposite when it comes to crime and inflation.
Zach Sattler of the Old North Columbus, thank you for your show of support for 89.7 NPR News. That means we have 18 neighborhoods to go before the end of the hour. This is our fall membership drive, and this hour of All Sides is about national politics. And who better to talk to than Ken Rudin, veteran political journalist and the host of the Political Junkie podcast. We're thrilled to have Ken with us today. And if having a show like this one is important to you, please make a gift now at WOSU.org, or you can call 866-897-9678. And giving this hour means you'll be part of our Neighborhood Challenge Day. We have a goal to hear from 20 different neighborhoods this hour. We have listeners from every corner of Central Ohio, and we want to hear from you. Make a gift, and in the comment section, tell us your neighborhood. We want to hear from Pickerington, Blacklick, Granville, beyond. Tell us your neighborhood. So far, we've heard from the south side of Columbus and Old North Columbus. Tell us your neighborhood when you go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And for $10 a month as a sustainer, you can get the 89.7 NPR News beanie as a thank you gift. The beanie is gray with the 89.7 NPR News logo embroidered across the rim in teal. And you can pick to get a beanie with or without a pom-pom. Make a gift of $10 a month and get this great beanie as your thank you gift. And tell us your neighborhood. Be part of the Neighborhood Challenge Day. Give at WOSU.org. You can also call 866-897-9678. And giving right now supports this show and everything you hear on 89.7 NPR News. This station and this talk show have been covering it all, from the ongoing issues with redistricting to previewing the upcoming midterm elections. We have talked about Ohio's Senate race between Tim Ryan and J.D. Vance. We love talking about politics, of course. We cover it locally every week with our weekly reporter roundtable. And we cover national politics like we're doing right now with Ken Rudin. If this station is your source for news and information, then now is the time to show your support. Give right now at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678 and give in any amount and be a part of Neighborhood Challenge Day. This is a great time to make a gift and tell us, where are you listening from? We want to hear from as many neighborhoods as possible today. Make sure yours is counted in our total. Tell us your neighborhood when you make your gift at 866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. Again, my guest is Ken Rudin, political journalist, host of the Political Junkie podcast. We'll have a link to that on our website at WOSU.org.
You know, Ann, let me just say something. You were talking about all the neighborhoods in Ohio, and I'm so sure we could spend the whole hour mentioning every possible neighborhood in Ohio. But you guys are in a bubble. When if you're looking at, like I do, Ohio from outside Ohio, it is so, that's the state is so crucial in determining what's going to happen to policies after the midterm elections. Just as Ohio is what basically elected reelected George W. Bush in 2004 over John Kerry. Had John Kerry gotten 60,000 more votes in Ohio, he would have been president. I mean, Ohio basically determined the 2004 presidential election. And I think Ohio can decide which state controls the Senate with the Vance and Ryan Senate race that is so close and so crucial. Mm-hmm. So I know, I think what I'm trying to say is that it is so important, whatever way you want to vote, it's important that everybody gets out and vote. And then you can't complain in November that, oh, if I had only voted, oh, if I had only gotten my friends to vote. If people come out and vote, then Ohio's voice will be heard.
You know, a couple years ago, it's got to be common to refer to Ohio as a red state. It used to be purple for a long time. You didn't know necessarily which way it was going to go.
Bill Clinton won it twice. Mm-hmm. Barack Obama won it twice. But Donald Trump has also won it twice. And it just seems like the state is moving more and more to the right. And that may be, reaffirmed in November, or Ryan and maybe Nan Whaley will change that dynamic. But it's clearly, once upon a time, Ohio was the, whatever candidate won Ohio usually was elected president. It was one of those bellwether states. And we'll just see whether the move to the right is permanent or just a temporary blip.
The search of Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago residence has kept the former president in the news, as you mentioned earlier. There are some Republicans who would like to move on from that whole thing, the former president, but the party as a whole has been unwilling or unable. What do you make of that dynamic at this point? Is it still too bad for the Liz Cheneys of the world at this point?
Well, there are very, very few Liz Cheneys of the world. Let's be honest.
Left,
yeah. Members of Congress, if you look at the people who support the Kevin McCarthy agenda for the new House, whatever it would be. I mean, it seems like it's so vague and meaningless, but they're all behind him. There are very few, Adam Kinzinger's and Liz Cheney's left. So I mean, that's what's happened to the Republican Party. But I'm not sure. I mean, this will drive Donald Trump nuts, but I'm not convinced that Donald Trump is the ultimate future of the party, because you see that everything that, for example, Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, is doing is to either get the nomination in 2024 or make him a kingmaker, which is clearly what he wants. And of course, that drives Donald Trump nuts, because Donald Trump basically created DeSantis in the 2018 election. And now he's saying, how does this pipsqueak, think he's going to, overthrow me? But so the Republican Party is not united behind Trump, but clearly what Donald Trump says, almost no remaining member of Congress on the Republican side will question him.
Ron DeSantis recently flew those migrants from Texas to Martha's Vineyard. It was a stunt, but they say they're going to keep it up. What are your senses about how that turned out for Ron DeSantis and, for that matter, Governor Greg Abbott of Texas?
Well, let's start with one thing that's very clear. The border problem stinks. It doesn't work. It's just, thousands and thousands are crossing the border every day, and that's just untenable. I mean, if you don't have to be nativist or anti-immigrant to realize that it's just impossible to sustain thousands and thousands crossing the border every day. Having said that, and both parties are responsible. Clearly, the Democratic Party has done nothing, other than naming Kamala Harris to head up that, a commission on the border. I don't think Joe Biden has done anything to alleviate that problem. But having said that, the thought of the governor of Florida hiring somebody in Texas to convince these migrants to get on a plane to go to Martha's Vineyard, I mean, it is basically an FU to the so-called liberal enclaves around the country. But where does the governor of Florida have jurisdiction to do that? And so it seems like the lies that the migrants were told about where they were going and how they were going. I mean, maybe Ron DeSantis is not getting a political boost out of it like he thinks he will, but right now he's a hero. He's a hero. He showed those liberals, you know, that we're not going. We in Texas and we in Florida are not going to be totally responsible for these migrants. How have your liberal, you know, your open border states like Massachusetts and New York and Chicago, which is I think Governor Abbott has already sent migrants to Chicago. Let them see what it's like. So it's nya-nya politics. It's inhumane. It's childish. But I think it's also successful.
Reporting by the New York Times has said that some in Abbott's camp are kind of annoyed that DeSantis sort of, you know, stole their thunder.
They did. I mean, but I still don't understand where he gets the jurisdiction to take $12 million of Florida of taxpayer money and to ship, you know, to fly these migrants to Martha's Vineyard. And yes, you know, it embarrassed liberals, but where does DeSantis have the power? I mean, maybe we should, you know, we should just round up all the hookers of the world and send them to Mar-a-Lago. And I mean, maybe that's the way we should do that too. But I just don't understand how he has the jurisdiction to do it. But that has not stopped a lot of people, whether they have the jurisdiction to do it or not. If it's good politics, if it's winning politics, I mean, good politics, I mean, if it's successful politics, mm-hmm. then, you know, keep going.
Thanks to Daniel Bolter in Lewis Center and Ashley Stone in North Eastmore. That means we have 16 more neighborhoods to go to meet our goal for this hour. This is listener-supported 89.7 NPR News, and you're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Support the station you listen to every day at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. These past few years have been an interesting time, to say the least. The news has been relentless, and All Sides has been covering it all, from the upcoming midterm elections to social justice and race issues to the ongoing opioid epidemic. Make a gift today in support of 89.7 NPR News and this show as well. Give at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. Today is Neighborhood Challenge Day, a day when we want to hear from as many neighborhoods as possible. We know we have listeners all over Central Ohio and beyond, and we want to add your neighborhood, add your city to our list. WOSU Public Media serves all of the diverse neighborhoods in Columbus, and we're always learning from our listeners. Tell us where you live by writing your neighborhood in the comment section when you make a gift at WOSU.org or call us at 866-897-9678. For a gift of $15 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $180, you can get the 89.7 NPR News hoodie. This gray hoodie has the NPR logo on the front and the teal 89.7 NPR News logo down the sleeve. Make this your go-to garment for cooler weather. And the hoodie's polycotton blend means it's soft, durable, and won't shrink. See a picture of it and give $15 a month at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And tell us your neighborhood. Be part of Neighborhood Challenge Day for this membership drive. WOSU and this show, it's like a town square for Central Ohio. We're talking about the issues that impact your life, issues important to your neighborhood. Tell us where you're listening from. Give in any amount to be a part of Neighborhood Challenge Day. Give at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. That's 866-897-9678. And we have 16 more neighborhoods to go to meet our goal for this hour. Be one of the neighborhoods. 866-897-9678. You know, as we mentioned, the January 6th committee holds its first hearing on Wednesday, the first hearing since July. What kind of sense do you have, Ken Rudin, that voters, that Americans are still paying attention to that?
You know, it's not that we have short attention spans, but we just seem to be bombarded by, you know, one story after another. But I think when we were watching those hearings, especially in July, they were captivating the American people's attention. I think we were learning a lot from it. We were horrified by a lot from it. Now, I know there are the big portion of the country, mostly in Republican areas and certainly in Trump areas, that just didn't care to be bothered by it, that it was just a distraction, that it was just nothing. It was just a plot by the Democrats and the media to embarrass Trump. So there is that. And again, as I said, I don't think it's changed anybody's views on Donald Trump, whether it leads to an indictment or something like that, some action by the Justice Department. That's another story, excuse me, altogether. But ultimately, if it what it means for November, I don't know if it means anything except for the fact that we need to know what the president did, or the former president did, to try to undo democracy and overturn a democratically held election. And that's what we must demand, and we should demand nothing less than that.
There is a Republican candidate facing off against longtime incumbent Representative Marcy Kaptur in Ohio's 9th Congressional District. The National Republican Congressional Committee is canceling a nearly $1 million ad buy after the Associated Press reported that J.R. Majewski, the Republican, lied about his resume, including claims that he deployed to Afghanistan when he didn't. Candidate quality has been a major theme in this election cycle, right, Ken? I mean, I guess it's showing that you just can't throw anybody out there.
Well, no, you know, it's funny. I was thinking of that the other day. I mean, I remember in 1994, I mean, anybody with an R next to his or her name was elected. I remember Dan Rostenkowski losing to somebody who he had no business losing to, except the fact that it was a big Republican year. And so a lot of big Democrats went down because of that. J.R. Majewski is interesting because Marcy Kaptur has been, because she was first elected to Congress in 1982. She is the longest serving woman in the House in history. And she's been around a long time. 40 years is a long time. I mean, you know, you talk about term limits and things like that. It's maybe would be time to get rid of her. And not only that, but the Republicans who draw the districts in Ohio drew it in such a way that she was almost sure to lose.
Right.
The bad part for the Republicans is that J.R. Majewski is probably the worst possible or the weakest possible candidate, very extreme, an election denier. And of course, his dishonesty about whether he served in Afghanistan, his military record makes it even worse. And as you point out, the NRCC, the National Republican Congressional Committee, has withdrawn a $1 million commitment they've made to him because of all these lies. But that's what Mitch McConnell said the other day, that Trump and others have been furious that the quality of candidates they've come up with, like Herschel Walker and Doug Mastriano, who's running for governor of Pennsylvania, and Blake Masters and all those election deniers in Arizona. I mean, you know, if the Republicans hope to win back the majority in the Senate, and I suspect they won't, and the reason I suspect they won't is because of the lack of quality in so many of these candidates. I mean, seriously, Mark Kelly should be very vulnerable in Arizona, but Blake Masters is just, you know, out there. I mean, Raphael Warnock should be very vulnerable in Georgia, but Herschel Walker, my God, I've never seen a more unqualified candidate and unaware of the issues than anybody. I know he's a football star and a legend, but that doesn't mean he should be a United States senator. And that's what drives Mitch McConnell nuts, that the Republicans have, with Donald Trump's help, have nominated candidates who have no business being on the ballot. So if the Republicans don't win the Senate, I suspect it will be because of the lack of good candidates running. However, having said that, I still think that Republicans are going to win the House, despite people like Majewski. Now, I think Majewski will lose to Marcy Kaptur in Toledo because he's just such a poor candidate. But that doesn't mean that other Democrats aren't going to go down around the country. Unfortunately, Ohio's district is so unbelievably gerrymandered that there's not going to be much action. I think that one was the only district that was going to change or could have changed because they drew it to beat Marcy Kaptur, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen.
Again, and that's one of the maps that the Ohio Supreme Court found unconstitutional, but they went ahead with it anyways. I can't even go there right now. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Thanks to Mark Derutigliano from Clintonville. He's listed Clintonville as his neighborhood. That means we have 15 neighborhoods to go before the end of the hour. This is listener-supported 89.7 NPR News. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher. This is our fall membership drive, and for this hour, I'm talking politics with Ken Rudin. And if you appreciate hearing Ken's perspective on the news, then make a gift now. While Ken's on the air, give now at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And today is Neighborhood Challenge Day for the membership drive. We ask that you give any amount. Every dollar makes a difference. And when you give, tell us your neighborhood, and I'll give you and your neighborhood a shout out on the air. We're keeping track of all the neighborhoods we hear from today. So make sure yours is counted. We want to hear from Powell, Marysville, Grove City, Canal Winchester, you name it. We want to hear from the South Side, King Lincoln, and Franklinton. When you make a gift in any amount, you can list your neighborhood in the comment section. Give at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. When you give $10 a month, we have a great gift to keep your head warm and cozy all fall and winter. Get the 89.7 NPR News beanie. It is gray with the 89.7 NPR News logo along the rim and teal, and you can get the beanie with or without a pom-pom. It's your choice. Give $10 a month or a one-time gift of $120 and get your own beanie to show your public radio pride and stay nice and warm. Give at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. That's 866-897-9678. This is the station you turn to for trusted news, information, and analysis. But that trusted news is only possible because we are listener supported. We are not interested in what shareholders are thinking. We only care about you and keeping you informed. Your support will keep these conversations on all sides going strong. So please make a gift in any amount and tell us your neighborhood to be part of Neighborhood Challenge Day. Give at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. That's 866-897-9678. One of my favorite election cycle things to do is to watch and listen to debates. And I say that very specifically, watch and listen, because I love seeing the facial expressions. I love watching how they respond to each other. And, you know, I, of course, want to hear what their perspectives are, the candidates' perspectives on all the different issues that come before them. But the politics of debate has been in the news a lot recently, and it feels like it's been building for about the last 10 years or so, Ken, this resistance to debate. It used to be a given that there would be a gubernatorial debate, but now Republican Governor Mike DeWine and Republican Senate candidate J.D. Vance had said they wouldn't participate in, won't participate in debates hosted by the Ohio Debate Commission. Vance has committed to two debates in October with Democratic candidate Tim Ryan, but those are not sponsored by the commission, and it's still unclear. It looks like Governor DeWine will not debate Democrat Nan Whaley. Talk about the calculus that campaigns make when it comes to debates these days.
See, unfortunately for me, when I have something stuck in my head, I can't get it out unless I talk about it. And so once you start talking about debates, I have to say this. First of all, you said you love to watch the facial expressions. Having spent all these years at NPR, you don't see really many facial expressions on the radio, but I agree with you. That's why I love watching them on TV, because you see the reaction. You know, you see the Al Gore sighing when George Bush says something ridiculous, and Al Gore goes, oh, yeah. You know, you have to see it to believe it. Or George Bush looking at his watch when Bill Clinton is going on and on. He's like, how long do I have to endure this stuff? Which reminds me of one of my favorite stories of all time in debates. NPR was having a debate of the Democratic candidates, I think in Iowa in 2004. And it's hosted by the great Neil Conan. Yep. And it was just a great debate. And I just loved it so much. And Dennis Kucinich of Ohio, who was running for president in 2004, holds up a pie chart. And as you know, he makes his case and everything about the economy and the rich versus the poor. And Neil Conan says, Congressman Kucinich, let me just remind you, pie charts don't work on the radio. So I'm thinking that is it. But having said, I had to get that anecdote out of my head because I love it so much. But you're absolutely right. It's amazing. And many times debates don't always make a difference. I mean, you think of Dan Quayle against Lloyd Benson. You think of Dan Quayle with a deer in the headlights, and yet the Bush Quayle ticket won 40 out of 50 states. So it doesn't always mean something. Sometimes it matters. I think Kennedy probably beat Nixon on the strength of very good debates. But it is very interesting that so many candidates. Well, look, like if you're a very weak candidate like Herschel Walker. Now, Herschel Walker just agreed to debate Raphael Warnock, the Democratic incumbent, which is surprising. And people will watch this. People will pay attention. They'll listen to it. They'll pay attention to it. A lot of people feel that if you're not a strong candidate, you can't gain anything by debating. I remember another thing in 1964. Oh my God, am I old? In 1964 in New York, Kenneth Keating was being challenged by this upstart by the name of Bobby Kennedy, and Senator Keating refused to debate him. So basically Bobby Kennedy sat there with an empty chair, and he got a lot of good press because Keating never showed up. But, you know, you think of, I don't know if it's that, I mean, I don't want to say whether it's important or not. It's regrettable that J.D. Vance won't do that debate, but he'll do two others on October 10th and October 17th. And, you know, that's a very close election. Right now, if you had me predicting, I still would predict that Vance wins. But again, this is still 6 weeks out, and a lot can happen. So watch those debates. Watch those debates on October 10th and 17th. Watch them. Like, what about John Fetterman in Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
He is the Democratic candidate who should win, and I think he will win. But he suffered a major stroke back in May, and we don't know if he can complete a sentence or complete a thought because of what happened in that stroke.
So he hasn't done any public events.
Well, he has done lately. Only recently he has. But he still has difficulty, you know, forming sentences. And Oz, Mehmet Oz, who in many ways is a complete fraud. I mean, he's suddenly become a conservative when in the past he wasn't that. But we'll see what happens. So I think they're crucial. I think, you know, it's one thing to be on the air with millions of dollars worth of ads and put the best face forward. But a debate, you have to see whether you can think on your feet, whether you're versed in the issues. And these debates, especially in Ohio, especially in Pennsylvania, especially in Georgia and around the country, can very well decide who wins in November.
I think it's interesting that Herschel Walker in Georgia he's going to debate a Raphael Warnock, but Herschel Walker is starting to lower expectations and kind of painting himself as this country guy who, you know, isn't really that flashy on his feet, but blah, blah, blah.
Well, that works. I remember when Sarah Palin debated Joe Biden, the vice presidential nominees in 2008. Everybody thought that Sarah Palin would fall down on her feet, and she wasn't bad in that debate. She was charming. She was she was folksy. I mean, whatever you think of Sarah Palin, she certainly held her own. I mean, of course, yeah, I think of Tina Fey during the debates on Saturday Night Live, and not really Sarah Palin. But it was a good debate for her, and she surprised people. Ultimately, again, the race was not about for vice president. It was about, you know, Barack Obama versus John McCain. But in these Senate races, it'll be very interesting. I mean, I don't think there are any expectations for Herschel Walker. I mean, the fact that if he shows up will be a shocker to me. But I don't think, I think the voters are smart enough to see through whether you can get through a debate by just bluffing. And this United States Senate is really not a place for bluffers, especially, my goodness, in a 50-50 Senate where so much is at stake, where either one race could make such a difference.
Thanks to Julie Seward Bragg from Powell for your support of 89.7 NPR News. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. It is our fall membership drive. Your support pays for the programs you listen to every day. Programs like All Sides with Ann Fisher and All Things Considered and Wait, Don't Tell Me. These programs are paid for with listener support. Give today at WOSU.org or call 866 897-9678. And you're running out of time to be part of Neighborhood Challenge Day on WOSU. When you give this hour, tell us your neighborhood. We want to hear from as many neighborhoods as possible today. We're shooting for 20, and we have 14 to go after Julie from Powell showed her support. We have the perfect thank you gift for the chilly weather of fall and winter in Central Ohio. Get the 89.7 NPR News hoodie. This is for a true public radio fan. The hoodie is gray. It has an NPR logo on the front and the teal 89.7 NPR News logo down the sleeve. It's soft. It's durable. It's a great way to show off your public radio pride and show everyone that you are a member of 89.7 NPR News. Get your very own hoodie for $15 a month when you call 866-897-9678 or make a gift at WOSU.org. And maybe you can be like Julie from Powell. She's already a sustaining member, but she gave an extra gift because she loves all sides and wanted a shout out for Powell, right? Oh, thank you to Margaret Addington in Orient. That means we have 13 to go before the end of the hour. Thank you so much, Margaret, and all the folks in Orient who are out there listening. Show your support right now at 866-897-9678. And if you are already a sustaining member of this station, thank you. Thank you to Julie. Your ongoing support is essential, and we couldn't do this without you. But maybe you can consider increasing your sustaining membership. That increase from $10 to $15 a month will really help support the future of local news on 89.7. And you could pick up the 89.7 NPR News hoodie as a thank you gift with that increase. And when you make that gift in any amount, tell us your neighborhood. For Neighborhood Challenge Day, give it now at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. We have just about a little over 13 minutes to go and 13 to go in our quest for 20 neighborhoods to be repped on 89.7 NPR News this hour. As a regular listener to All Sides with Ann Fisher, you know that we bring you a diverse range of topics. Every Monday, you hear the Weekly Reporter Roundtable. Every Wednesday, you hear Wellness Wednesday, and you learn about fitness trends or the latest cutting-edge research. All Sides with Ann Fisher is dedicated to in-depth, thoughtful discussions that go beyond the headlines. So support your public radio station today. Give today at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. Thanks to Beth Grimes Flood of Bexley. Means we have 12 to go in the hour and just about 12 minutes. I know we can do it. 866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. Wow. I mean, there's so much to talk about, Ken Rudin. looking beyond Ohio, you've mentioned John Fetterman of Pennsylvania, the Democratic Senate candidate. He's running against Republican Dr. Mehmet Oz. What is your sense about how people are responding to Fetterman's his health in general? There have been a few editorials I've seen now that say that it's all more important than ever that candidates be front and center about their health.
Yeah, that's actually a big issue, and that's a legitimate issue. And there have been accusations made against the Fetterman camp that they have not been completely open and honest about what Fetterman's condition is. I mean, a stroke is a weird thing difficult thing to have to explain and figure out, because you don't know exactly how serious the damage is. But clearly, the Fetterman campaign has been trying to limit the amount of information that's going out. First of all, they like the polls. The polls show him with a somewhat healthy lead over Dr. Oz, and they like that. And of course, there are many Republicans who don't trust Oz. Oz barely won the Republican primary. He probably won it with Donald Trump's support. And again, we cannot minimize the importance and the significance of when Donald Trump decides to back a candidate. So there's that. But I mean, you know, ultimately you think of, you know, situations like with President Kennedy, who was not did not come forward honestly, fully about Addison's disease and his other health problems. So, but I mean, as long as it works, I guess you know, that's a big part of what it is. But it's kind of it's scary to see it. And I'm looking forward to this debate, not to see if, because Fetterman's a smart guy. And he's a very, I didn't think he would even win the primary. I thought he might be too left wing for Pennsylvania. But he has this Jesse Ventura like persona about him that he tells it like it is. And I think that's won him Republican votes. The debates will be very crucial.
What is your sense about a younger voter turnout?
Well, I don't know. I mean, again, you know, we've always talked about young voters and they just don't vote. We do see that we have seen numbers that show that younger voters are more important, more cognizant about the issues of guns, availability of guns, and the access to abortion and things like that. And that could be, you know, it could be the kind of turnout that it could affect turnout in November, and see, you know, we could see a larger turnout of younger voters. But again, it's always hard to measure that. It's always impossible to measure it in advance of what happens. We could always look at after the election, say whether they turned out a lot. But I get the sense that so much at stake. And again, Republicans only need 5 House seats to make Kevin McCarthy the speaker. It's a 50-50 Senate right now. So a pickup of one would make Mitch McConnell, the Senate majority leader. So much is at stake. And I kind of think that I'm expecting larger than turnout. You know, you talk about whether Fetterman can win or not. He's been campaigning in Black neighborhoods lately, which is there's been some question whether Black voters are enthused about this election. There was a famous incident years ago when Fetterman was a mayor of a local town in Pennsylvania and chased a suspected Black gunman down the street with a gun. I think there's something like that. And Fetterman has been trying to apologize and explain that for years. So we'll see if there's a sizable Black turnout. We did notice that lacking Barack Obama on the ballot, the Black turnout has not been as excited as it was, for example, as it was, you know, as it was for Obama, as it was for Hillary Clinton or Joe Biden. So there's a lot to watch out. And the Democrats know that, as they say, every vote counts. But you think of when Joe Biden was elected in 2020, Republicans picked up 14 seats in the House. So, you know, it's not just because people may not like Donald Trump or may use Donald Trump as a weapon, doesn't mean that Republican voters are not going to turn out. So much is at stake in November.
Thank you to Paula in Northwest Columbus. That means we have 11 neighborhoods to go before the end of the hour. We have a little over 7 minutes. I hope you'll take the time to join the club, become a member of 89.7 NPR News. Thanks to Julie Byrne in Groveport and Jennifer Young in New Albany. Now we just have 9 to go before the end of the hour, and I know we can do it. We have 7 minutes to go. That's plenty of time. Pick up the phone, go online, 866-897-9678 is the number to call, or go to WOSU.org. It's very, very easy. Remember, no matter what amount you give, you are supporting the news and information on 89.7 NPR News. There is power behind your gift to the station. Your gift is combined with thousands of other gifts, and all those gifts together make a very powerful voice. We are listener-supported public radio. You are the power behind public radio. Give now. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. Thanks to Patrice Moore in Delaware. It means we have 8 more to go to meet our goal for this hour. Show your support right now at 866-897-9678. It is a special day for Fall Membership Drive. Today is Neighborhood Challenge Day. It's kind of fun. Throughout today, we're hoping to hear from as many neighborhoods in Central Ohio as we can. And I would say as many neighborhoods and cities, wherever you're from. When you make a gift, be sure to name your neighborhood or your city in the comment section, and I'll give you and your neighborhood or city a shout out on the air. Give now and get credit for your neighborhood for Neighborhood Challenge Day. Give at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. Also want to say thanks to Margaret Susan from Worthington. That means we have 7 to go before the end of the hour in just about 6 minutes. 866 866- 877-967-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. I have time for a couple more questions with Ken Rudin, my guest, host of Political Junkie Podcast. Ken, lots of 2020 election deniers are on the ballot. What are your thoughts about how voters respond to that issue at this point?
Oh, my goodness. That scares me the most because, you know, I mean, had Mike Pence gone the other way and succumbed to pressure, I mean, who knows where would be who would be in the White House right now. But if you look at who won Republican primaries, mostly in Arizona and in Michigan, and we've seen a lot of election deniers. And basically, we keep talking about races for governor and Congress and senator, but races for Secretary of State is crucial in so many of these states, because these are the guys and gals who will determine or decide how the elections are being run and how the votes are being counted. One of the scary things about Doug Mastriano winning the governorship of Pennsylvania is that he said if he wins, he'll pick a Secretary of State, an election commissioner or a Secretary of State, because it's an appointed position in Pennsylvania, who will decide who counts the votes. I mean, what votes are counted? I mean, this is so anti-democratic and unconstitutional that I've never seen. You talk about Nixon and all the things that he may have committed, the crimes he may have committed, they pale by comparison to those who are going to undo elections because of partisan concerns. So this frightens me the most. And, you know, you talked about before about all the people contributing to WOSU, and then it's fun to have their neighborhoods mentioned. It's not fun. It's crucial because public radio is on these stories and will let people know that what's at stake. I mean, this is, we're not talking about winners and losers, like we're talking about whether, you know, Aaron Judge hit 61 home runs or not. I mean, that's exciting, but it's not crucial. Like, I mean, if an election is not going to be fairly count determined, only some votes get counted, or, you know, just, you know, you're going to overturn an election because you don't like the way it went, we are in deep trouble. And that's why I'm thanking every time you tell me about somebody else who's just contributed to the station. It warms my heart because it is so crucial for public radio and for public discourse that people care about this kind of reporting. So thank you to the people who've been calling up. Thank you, WOSU, for making this happen.
I think one of the fun parts about this whole thing is telling people's names on the air and sharing that commitment to what we do at 89.7.
It's fun too.
It's just fun. And thank you to Bruce Pontius in Columbus and also Bindu Mehra in Hilliard. She wants to challenge others in Hilliard to give. So let's get on it, Hilliard people. That means we have 5 to go before the end of the hour and 2.5 minutes to go. I know we can do it. 866-897-9678. Thanks to Bindu and Bruce for their support of 89.7 NPR News. Bruce did not say his exact neighborhood, but he said he loves the unbiased news on 89.7 NPR News. We have
How many more do we have?
5 more to go before the end of the hour.
I will donate 5 pair of Political Junkie socks to the five people who call within the to finish the hour.
Okay,
that's a big commitment because I'm wearing them right now. Yeah. I have to take them off and wash
them.
Well,
can they get them previously worn by you? Is the question, right?
They're worth much more. Yes.
That's Ken Rudin. Ken, thanks so much for all your support over the years. We've been talking for 13 years now, and it never gets boring. It always matters, and thanks for your commitment.
It does matter, and thank you, Ann.
That's Ken Rudin, political journalist and host of the Political Junkie podcast. You're listening to listener-supported WOSU-FM and HD1 Columbus and online at WOSU.org. It's a service of WOSU Public Media, 89.7 NPR News, global and local. Belinda Mortensen in Galena, that means we have 4 more neighborhoods to go. Belinda Mortensen and Galena, thanks so much for your support of 89.7 NPR News. It is a special day for Fall Membership Drive. It's Neighborhood Challenge Day. Throughout the day, we're hoping to hear from as many neighborhoods in Central Ohio as we can. When you make a gift, be sure to name your neighborhood in the comment section. I'll give you and your neighborhood a shout out on the air. 866 897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. If this matters to you, if the kind of conversations I have on a monthly basis with Ken Rudin matters to you, on a weekly basis with our weekly reporter roundtable, if that kind of conversation matters to you, if it enriches your life, it helps inform you and helps you make decisions going forward in during this midterm election cycle, show your support, 866-897-9678, or go online to WOSU.org. We depend on you. We depend on your support to make these conversations happen. 866-897-9678 is the number to call. You can also go online to WOSU.org. Don't forget to tell us where you're calling from or where you're posting from, 866-897-9678. Thanks so much for all your support. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Thanks again.